Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through one temple, as we begin to sing, praise the Lord for his mercy to endure forever. That will be the glory of the Lord, fill his temple and the Christian minister in India. And that will be no respecter of person. The glory of the Lord, I'll fill this auditorium this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the Lord and I change it not. And they have no respect of faith. So we thank you for being our meet this morning. So bless us. Blessed is our glorious name, Lord. Father, we want to read a few of your word this morning. Just trusting you that we bless the reading thereof. Grant it, Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The power of faith. Faith is the power that brought the world into existence. We read in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. They can do all they want to do. They can put the biggest telescope all over the world. There is nothing such as a big bang. There is no such a, it's a lie of the devil and so on like that, you know. We understand through faith that the words were framed by the word of God. He spoke them into existence, you know. The power of faith. Faith is the power that changes the impossible and make it possible. The power of faith will do that for you and me. Faith turns defeat into victory. All the time we do it. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, the power of faith, overcomes this world. You see, you got it. Faith turns sickness into health and darkness into light. Faith turns a dream into reality. You can dream all you want. It takes faith to bring them into reality. Faith will do it for you, the power of faith. Now, God has given a measure of his faith, God's own faith, to every born-again Christian. And all may use it as they please, if they want to, see, up to me and you. But they are dead to us. The Bible says in Romans 12, 3, God has dead to every man, meaning Christian, right? The measure of faith. I say Christian because another place you say, all men have no faith, right? But to God's children, he has dealt to you and me a measure of faith. Whether we use it or not is a different thing, right? Now, that's what you say as a human faith too, you know. And nominal Christians, they use this human faith, I call it human faith, you know, to distinguish for another kind of faith, God's kind of faith. So, nominal Christians, even exercise what I call human faith in the natural and the psychic spheres. That's the natural realm, right? And psychic spheres. And even the Lord Jesus Christ once said in Luke 16 verse 8, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. But we know this, they are not wise in eternity. They are only wise or wiser for the time in which they live, you know. So the words of our Lord Jesus Christ have a strange application today, even in the cause, all the psychic things and the cause, even the lost word has a strange application as well as you know, that even invoke the laws of faith, which properly belong to the children of God. You know, Satan is a perverter of the truth, right? It's a corrupter of the truth. But even in those circles, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the cause, have a strange thing. I know. And they invoke the laws of faith. See? They have brashly moved into the faith realm. Even the cause. Boldly moved to the faith realm. Using that power in the lower sphere though, in the lower sphere of things, to material benefits, such as, they don't apply spiritual sense to it. But they apply the power of faith, the law of faith, you know, in the lower spheres, there are lower spheres, inferior spheres, for material benefits only, without reference to spiritual things at all. Why can they do that? Because faith produces results. Even in those lower realms, you know, the power of faith, right? Even the lower realm, faith produces the results as well as in spiritual sphere, the power of faith, you know. But that is the reason, for example, the magicians of Egypt, the days of Moses and so on, the faith will produce, you know, although what to the unbeliever, Peter can have hand in it too, the power of the devil and so on, that, you know, but the power of faith, you know, as well, even the lower realm has and can produce results. That's why the magicians were able to duplicate some of the miracles of Moses. Although we know that because there were definite limits beyond which they could not go. And they confessed to Pharaoh in Exodus 8:19, where we are come to a place where we can't even go further. What this man is doing called Moses, this is a finger of God, you see? Satan will have a limit and so on. He can mimic, he can mimic the things of God and so on. But even in those areas, faith, you know, produces results too and so on. Now, of the Antichrist, for example, the Antichrist system, the scripture says in Revelation 3:13, and he does great wonders so that he makes a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Bible call it miracles, you know, which you know, he has power to do in the sight of the beast. But we know this. The word of God says, upon all that he does, in Daniel 11:45, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. Bible says. So they can do some power, they can do some things and all that, you know, but when God really set up and so on, they are no match to the power of God anyway. So now, talking about the cause, this metaphysical cause operates under various names, like we know them today. They are called unity, they are called, even they call them the truth. The time they are called the new thought, Rosicrucians, etc. Today, they operate a kind of a faith, but in a lower sphere, only for materialism only. They never touch spiritual things at all. They can't touch it, you know. So, and although they do not accept the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are practitioners, meaning the oddities of court and so on, by taking advantage of the powers of the mind, see, powers of the mind, they are able to accomplish certain mental and physical cures. Yeah, they do. You know, to some extent, like the magicians in Egypt, right? They are able to do that and so on. Through the powers of suggestion, they call it auto-suggestion, right? All kind of satanic and so on, of suggestion, they profess to bring new hope. They will bring health, they said, and even so-called happiness, and even financial success, even personal security, they say, to their devotees. Talking of the cult and so on, the psychic and so on, that, you know. Now, this is a doctrine of materialism, right? That's all they know. But it has an appeal to many, many today, and they have many, many followers, and all, as we are talking now, in this last days and so forth. Upon all these things, but our Lord Jesus Christ has offered us, the believers, any other thing that this other cult they can offer, and innumerable times more, thousands and millions and billions, you know, of times more spiritual quality things, quality, not fake things and so on like that, you know. So the Lord Jesus Christ not only has promised life more abundantly in this time, not in the heaven, thank God heaven is coming and so on, even now, see, one time, Mary and Martha, their brother, your friend who you love, that has so on and so on. Oh, Master, if I've been here, our brother has not died and so on like that, you know. And but even now, even if I die, even matter say, even now, whatever you ask God, I know He's going to give to you. And that's one. Even now, no matter what has happened, you know, although you say it should be, but I like that statement. Even now, whatever you ask God, He give it to you and to another, you know. That's how our faith should work, right? And it worked for them. And the prayer, never done before in the history of the world. If I have not done that, which no man has ever done, and Monday they have no sin. The Bible says the Lord said to them and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so it's the same faith. And so on, that, you know. She has faith. So, and He has given unto us life more abundantly in this time, and also in the world to come, to the Bible say, life everlasting. John 10:10, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That is what Jesus brought to the people, to his children. And he goes on to say in Mark in 10:28. Then Peter, he told them what happened and so on. You know, a rich man and some that you know. And the Bible says, who makes a judge over you and so on. Anyway, in Mark 10:28, then Peter began to say unto him, say to the Lord, "Lo, we have left all." See that? Of course, he left all. You know, in Luke chapter 5, right? You know, and so on, you know, he left all. You know. And I followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you," when the Oriental say "verily, verily," you mean say, "truly, truly, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel." Watch this one. "But he shall receive an hundredfold now," not in the world to come, now, "a hundredfold in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life." Whatever you think you left for the law, he gives you back and a billion times more. And where? In Luke chapter 5, remember? I mean, Luke, and so on, I mean, you know, brother Peter and so on, he wasn't a brother at that time. I think I was talking about testimony and so on. You know, lend me your boat and so on. And of course, you see, the natural man, you know, something usually was designated, right? He was tired washing their nets, right? They have been discouraged all night long. That is their livelihood, right? And now this man called, want to call him a man. I mean, you know, got into his boat and he just put the people over there, went to preach and so on, you know. At the end of his sermon, he said, "Now, I mean, let down the net and so on." "Oh, master, you know, we have fished all night long and caught nothing." See, but at thy word, you know. So you see that there, you know. So anyway, he left all. So, you know, he gave the Lord his boat. And look at what he got. What he lost all night long, he got. In fact, the net was breaking. Praise the Lord. See, the workings of God. Anyway, Satan suffers his greatest blow when a soul accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, you know. Satan loses and so on. What does he do? Satan, therefore, is determined, if possible, to keep that person from obtaining his rights as a believer. That's what he does. You know, he has lost that one. Now, what he does next, he starts to hinder the believer, to deprive him or her of the rights and privilege that person has in Christ. You know, as well as that, you know, that's what he does all the time. Why Satan permits the false cause to teach their followers that they can all have an abundance of material things, they can have health, they even both of that in the cause, or even happiness, they call it, or even prosperity, they both of this in the cause. Then this Satan is seeks, if possible, to delude the Christian into believing that God makes them sick, or that they must suffer deceit for God's glory. You know, it's a liar, isn't it? A father of life. Or that they must struggle through life in guiding poverty, the father of life, the life from the beginning, right? So we strongly, of course, we protest all these things, and standing upon the word of God, the idea that sickness or poverty and failure should be the lot of a Christian, we completely protest standing upon the word of God. All these things pertain toward the cause of the law from which Christ has redeemed us. Galatians 3:13 should be popular scripture and so on to every believer, but our redemption, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Curse is every one that hangeth on a tree," and then the blessing of Abraham, and even more, through the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ has come unto his children. Now, also the Lord Jesus has given to his people the use of his name, talking about power of faith, right? Even faith is associated with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I'm going to see right now. So the Lord has given unto his children the use of his name by which they can appropriate all that they need. I mean all that they need. Bible says so. That name, you can appropriate all that you need. Yes, indeed, all that they need. Philippians 4:19. "My God shall supply all your need. It's the scripture. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, associated to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is indeed a heavenly marvel to this name, Jesus Christ the Lord. A heavenly marvel to that name. The name above all names. Bible says God has given unto him a name above every name of things in heaven, of things on earth, and even on hell. At the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, no shall bow, to the glory of God the Father. There is a faith that operates in the psychological level, all kind of faith, right? You know, and there is a faith that operates in the spiritual level. That's what you are concerned with, you know, and some of that, you know. And there is a big difference, distinction between the two of them, the kind of faith that works in the psychological realm and the faith that operates in the spiritual realm. That's a big difference. People will say, well, some say that, you know, it doesn't matter what I believe, just that you believe. No, that is a difference. That's a false claim that just believe something. No, true faith is faith in God's promises. That's it. You know, true faith is faith in God's promises. In other words, for faith to be valid, it must first have a promise upon which it can anchor itself. That's true faith. See? You know, not just any kind of a belief. No. True faith is faith in God's promises, meaning that for faith to be valid, it must first have a promise upon which it can anchor. And God promises, you know what? Talking about promises, they are exceedingly great. So many promises are there. God's promises are exceedingly great and precious too. We are told in the Bible, and have been given to each and all of his children. 2 Peter 1:4, talking of promises. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah, you see, those where your faith anchored. There are many of them, innumerable promises, precious, great promises that are given unto his children, you and I, and are called upon his name. Not only that, true faith is also faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is the word of God anyway. So true faith is also faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Apostle Peter, in testifying to the people, how a certain man born from his mother's womb, lame from his mother's womb, in Acts 3:2, he says, that man was, you know, a certain man, you know, lame from his mother's womb. He was testifying of how he was healed. We are saying that true faith also, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and he told them, how was the man healed in Acts 3:16. So true faith is also faith in the name of the Lord Jesus in Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, see, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, he said, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yeah, faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That powerful faith, right? The power of faith. Yes, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, brethren, man was created to rule. He was made in the image of God and was given dominion over all the earth. Genesis 1:27 reminds us, or tells us, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so that's what the Bible says in the beginning, the power and authority it gives to man. Now that's the thing. If a man fears God, he need fear nothing else. I like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. If a man fears God, he need fear nothing else in the whole wide world. So, man lost that dominion, right, by the fall. Yet, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he recovers all, not even only that, and even more, by the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ has run for the race. So, the redeemed can now reign in life again through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. So he lost it all in the fall, but the kingdom redeemer came. And Galatians 3, as I read before, has redeemed us from that person, so that you know, a man can reign again, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, see that? They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So we can reign in life today through our Lord Jesus Christ. The failure comes to God's children when they say they are doing it themselves. Again, but when we are acting on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ in our position of authority that he gave us, yeah, all things are possible. So, but to do this, the child of God must move our power into a realm of faith where the victory is. You know, that faith will not be found by looking inwardly in yourself. I wish I had it with myself, right? That faith looking by won't be found by looking inwardly into yourself. Paying attention to your faults will keep you in the same condition as you were, you know. Get away from yourself. You must turn away from yourself to the promise, back to the promise again. For faith to be valid, has to have the point to be anchored on. See? Turn away from yourself to the promise of God. And there are many of them, great and precious promises, many of them. Turn to Christ, is the word of God, and to his power to deliver. That's where the victory is, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, through the use of his name, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us the power of the power that transcends, that surpasses and goes beyond all other powers. That's right. See, you have it, give it to us. We read in 1 Peter 3:22 of this power. Who is gone to heaven, me, our Lord Jesus Christ? Out there is at the right hand of God. Look at this. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Then he told us in Luke 10:19, talking about I give unto you me and power. Behold, I give unto you power, authority, power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, I like that, over all the power of the enemy. No matter what I can come up with, God has given you the power. Just you have to know it and by faith use it, and something that you know, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemy hurt you. See the power of faith in John 14:13-14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, see that name, faith, and that name, power of faith. See, that's where the power, know that the victory is. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, the Lord say, I will do it. Not me doing it, it's him who does it, you know. That's why we fail again. We ask him something, we ask him to do something, I say, no, he does it, say, I will do it. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, the Lord said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And watch this clause here, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, see, he will give it to you. So faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will get you anything you want, that you ever need, you know. So what tremendous power is represented in that name, Jesus Christ our Lord. The apostles, they use this name with an abandonment. I always like the one, abandon yourself to God, see. I mean, be carefree, see. Praise God. I will get to this thing. You don't get that in a day. No, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, right, don't get there in one day, you know, but day by day, step by step, and sometimes, you know, even Apostle Paul said, not I already attained, but I'm moving on anyway. I don't think about the past, oh, the way of the overcomer, forgetting those which are past, shall the so-called failures, and so I move on with the power of God. Look at the thing that God, the greater things, I will yet do a new thing, right, and it shall spring forth, and you will know them. I'll show it to you and some of that, you know. So we see John 15, 16. So whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, and he give it to you. So I've done that already. So to use the name means what? That we have power of attorney. See? We have the authority to use all the might behind that name. I always talk about power of attorney. Many of people here are maybe medical people and so on. We are acting on his behalf as his representative. In the gospel, we say we are ambassadors for Christ, right? You know? So that's what we are in Christ, you know? That's what we are in Christ and so on. So all the power behind that name belongs to you and I through faith. All that Christ could do when he was on earth can now be done by the believer who uses his name in faith. Like I read to you in Acts 3:16, as I read before, his name. True faith in his name. That's all it takes, you know. All over the book of Acts, always the name. The name, the name, the name. Faith in his name. And again, he's no respecter of person. And this is the reason that the Lord Jesus could say that the believer could do the same work that he himself did, and even more. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and a greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. So at times the church had a brief glimpse of the potential power of the name, and the church has experienced the authority invested in it, for which we praise God. But what we are saying is that same power is still available today, not in the last crusade, not in the last revival, thank God for those things and so on. Even today, that same name is available to the believer to do the same exploit. Yet in our time, we are seeing the blind seeing again through this name. We are seeing the deaf hear again, even in this our age, by that name. We saw the lame walk, many crusades and so on, in this our age. Even death has given way before that name, Jesus Christ our Lord, even our dispensation and our age. And praying, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ means that a believer is acting as the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is using the authority of the Lord Jesus to fulfill God's purpose upon this earth. That's what it really means when we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I was writing, the Lord said, "Those who use my name." See, we are underusing the name. We are underusing what we have. Think about something, you know. If somebody gives, maybe you are riding a Peugeot car, I don't know, a kind of car before. That's why they now gave you one half a cruise control and so on, and all the widgets and things like that, you know. And it may be there, and you are underusing them, right? You don't ever use the cruise control. You never know the automatic thing, what they don't know. So, but you have them there. The Lord was telling me this morning, say, my people, they are underusing the power of my name, the power that I've given to you. In my name, say, we are underusing it. See? Let us awake, you know? So in this name, all things are possible, really, to you and I as, you know, his children. So anyway, so we say right there. So now, this name, the power in there is appropriated through faith, you know, the power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us one of those exceeding great and precious promises in Mark 11:22. How we are told, we are given great and exceeding promises. And one of them is in Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered, we are talking about the power of faith. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. One translation says, have the faith of God. Right? See? He has dealt it to me and you in measure of it. Just let it grow. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Sometimes many Christians, whether we are timid in saying things, maybe so, we don't get used to saying things. You know, maybe so, but we always say it all the time. Jesus said, "You shall have whatever you say." Right? Why are we not saying much of things, right? So much prayer, thank God for prayer, you know. this is commanding things. You command things to exist in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Speak things into existence. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, that is Mark 11:24. When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That was the word of God says, heaven and earth shall pass away. God's word will not pass away. It's immovable, it's unchangeable, it's immutable. See? Immutability of his promise. In one scripture, right? The immutability of his promise. It's unchangeable. See? In this promise, it reveals the secret of faith. The means by which the power behind that name can be released. I just read it right now. Faith does not look at circumstances, doesn't look at conditions, but at the promise. Back to the promise again. See? The power of faith. To the promises of God. And the Lord spoke these words, like I just read to you, in connection with the portion of the fig tree, right? A popular scenery in the Bible that we all know. And at the instant he spoke the words, nothing seemed to have happened to the tree, right? Or even the leaves. The disciples looked at the tree, and the leaves seemed as heavy as ever. But they saw only with their natural sight, right? So they were merely believing what they saw. That is why many people fail today or doesn't work. They're just looking at what they can see with their eyes or what they can feel in their body. So they look at circumstances, they look at conditions, and in case of healing, they look at their symptoms and and their feelings. They believe only what their natural eyes see. But the child of God must look past these things and look at the word. Look at the promise. Back to the promise, right? Look at the promise. He must believe he receives. And later, without faith, he will see with the natural eyes. But he must believe first. That's what the Bible says. No. The Lord Jesus did not look at the leaves of the tree after he caught it. But by the eye of faith, sir, he saw the roots dry up. That's how we must look. We must look and see by the eye of faith, the power of faith. We must remember that faith is only faith when we don't feel anything. When we don't see anything, that's when faith is faith, really. In the real sense of it and so on, that, you know. That is the only time we can exercise faith. When we don't see, when we don't see, see? So, faith is something apart from what we see. Indeed, the divine injunction in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. See, the power of faith. Doubt begins when we base belief upon what we see rather than upon God's promise. You see, that's right. Where that comes, right? When we base our belief on what we see rather than what God's promise said, right? You know, so far you are hooking your faith on that God's promise. God's promise is immutable. Something pop up. Go back to the promise. Your faith will be beat up again really quickly, you know. So faith is not some mysterious thing that people will think. Walking up a strange feeling, you know. It is the irrevocable decision of the soul to base its belief upon what God has said. That's it. Nothing is not about faith. No. You know, it is the irrevocable decision of the child of God, the soul of the child of God, to base his belief upon what God has said, knowing that God's word will never fail. No matter what, you know, people compare themselves with themselves and so on. Oh, that after that person, I don't care. What said the scripture concerning my situation today, you know? That's what I care about. What God said about my situation. And I believe that nothing a child of God will need that can't find a promise in the Bible for it. That's just the way I see it, you know, and so that, you know. Anyway, so as I first time read before here in this service here, the Lord says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them, the Lord said. In other words, we are to consider the miracle as already having taken place. That's what the Lord is saying. Reckon the answer to prayer as already in your hand. The secret is to visualize the answer. God says so. I have it already, you know. So it's mine. Why? All because God says so. That carry all the weight in the world. The Lord said that the believer shall have whatever he says. God says so. It is important. I mean, this is important. Now, one rises no higher than his confession. Be careful what we say. We can't say this things enough. One rises no higher than his confession. Some pray for deliverance, but after they get through, instead of proclaiming deliverance, they confess weakness. In case of health, they confess sickness and doubt. It doesn't work that way. The Lord said, we shall get what we say. That's why I have to be careful what we say, right? When people say the wrong thing, and the law will work against them, you know? And, they will get what they say. You know, but it will be a wrong thing, right? They say the wrong thing. So let us be mindful. And I say this one here. No one is immune from these things. No man is immune from these errors. We have to watch what we are doing in the Word of God. Some confess failure, and they have failure. They cry for a miracle, but they reject God's way of getting that miracle. What's God's way of getting a miracle? What the Lord says. Believe, ye receive, and you shall have. That's God's way of doing it. No other way, you know. Directly or indirectly, they are saying, oh, no, not so, Lord. I will believe when I see it. I will believe when I feel it. That won't work, see? And so, you never get the victory. So, you stay clear of that. For example, we can claim the promise of divine healing, not only for ourselves, but also for our household. We should stand on God's word, which declare, I just put it on out as an example of what you can really have from God. And I always like the scripture in Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord, your God, he says. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Day by day, I know the value of that scripture. And even in the Great Commission and some of that, you know, in Mark 16, the Bible says, if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. The more the age goes, the more I see the value of this word of God that the Lord has, you know, given to us right from the day of Moses. You know, the blessing of blessing your food. God said, he will bless your bread. He will bless your water. In the days of pollution that we are living today, even the very air is polluted. The water is polluted. Not too many days ago, the city here lost 8 million gallons of water and so on. How long have those pipes been there underground and so on? That's poison everywhere and so on. But the word of God gave us immunity. Praise the Lord. Divine immunity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, God says so, and to me it works. You know, it works all the time. I learn to use them all the time. God says, I will do all these things for us and so on. Now, anyway, we are not ignorant. And we know it is true that Satan will contest every new step you take. Every step of faith will be contested, right? Yes, it does. Bible talks about the trying of our faith. Bible says so. Can't it nothing stranger? Bible says. Sometimes we can't say strange, but I remind myself when all kind of things begin to happen to me. That's why we call it, we can't it no strange. Diverse temptation and some of that, you know, then the faith will come up. So anyway, so Satan will always do that. But the fruit, so you endure that, right? So you will contend. We contest every new step of faith you take. But brother and sister, the fruits of the victory are sweet and worth the cost 100 times more than the test. If you just stand your ground there, you know. The fruit of victory is sweet. When you have stood your ground, I tell the devil, or get thee behind me, Satan, you have to obey. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever is interfering with in your life, you have to obey that name. See? God intends that his children shall be financially solvent. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. God put it forth, really. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thou so prosperest. Are we not told that he gave us great, many, many great and precious promises? That's another one of them right there, you know. Let's claim the promise as God's children. The Lord said in John 16:23, maybe I've read it before already, I will say it again, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked me nothing in my name, he said, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I like that. When my joy is not full, I know that that devil is stamping around with me for somewhere. I ought to kick back. How do you do it? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. See? That's the only way. It doesn't fear me, it doesn't fear you. But that name, it shakes our head. It says shake. With that name in the leap of faith, yes, hair will shake. They will let go their captives, you know. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we can commit our household into the hands of God. I say to Satan, as Moses said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh will say, oh yeah, you can go, but leave this and leave that. No, Moses said, I can't have it away. In Exodus 10:26, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Moses said, you can do that. We can do it in the Christian tradition of our household, of ourselves and so on. And God's promises. Moses said, no, it's not even an hoof. Don't talk of a cattle. I won't even leave a hoof behind. We are going with all. Taking all that God has given unto us. That should be our attitude to God's promises and our household. Realize that if the enemy cannot break through at one point, he will attack from the rear. That's how he plays his tricks, right? As Christians, we carry our shields of faith in front. Therefore, we must keep our line of defense intact at all points. Ephesians 6:16 tells us about this. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Okay, by the power of faith. Faith is a shield, right? Shield of faith. Faith in God's promises. Faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's promises. Therefore, we must say, yeah, that's right. Wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I like that one. That word all. All of his fiery darts. We don't deny it. That he has fiery darts. To dart it just to that word. God says he had those fiery darts. But thank God we can quench all of it. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. The same Lord Jesus said that. Now, closing here this morning. The power of faith, just in a new way of looking at it. The word, the sermon on faith can be preached in so many innumerable ways and so on, you know, but that's just what we're doing this morning and so on. The Lord said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, in turn, he delegates this power to you and me as his children and to use through his name. Give us this power and so on. Let us learn to appropriate that power in our daily work. Not when we have a need, but every passing day. Appropriating. I won't forget what I said this morning. Say we underuse what he has given us. We are underusing the immense power, the unlimited power behind the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say I agree, Lord. I want to improve, you know. I don't want to underuse what you have given to me in that name. See? We can avoid many problems by living in the faith realm, talking about the power of faith, yes, in the faith realm, and keeping ourselves in the known will of God. That's another secret right there. The Lord said in John 15:7, maybe I've read it before, I'm going to do it again, verse 7, and that's the last scripture here this morning. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How simpler can the Lord make it? Just like little children, you just accept his word. Abandon ourselves to the word of God, you know. To live in the realm of faith means we must daily stay close to God. Day by day. Not when we have any and start running. Sometimes people don't do something until they get into some trouble, right? No, it has to be a daily work. The daily contact, right? Prevents near. So said, one place. Daily contact prevents near. As we abide in his presence, I maintain an unswerving attitude of faith, meaning a steady attitude of faith, not wishy-washy faith, faith today and doubt tomorrow. No, the steadfast, unswerving, unsteady attitude of faith, we shall find things working together for us rather than against us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of faith. Power in the innumerable, great and precious promises. Wherein we anchor our faith, we will always be overcomers. That's who we are. He has admonished us, as he is so are we in this world. He that overcometh, as I also overcame, walk with me in white. Rule the rod, walk with a rod of iron. So many promises become to us for this day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can safely trust upon every promise of God. No, they will never fail. Lord, we thank you as we go this morning. Lord, oh God, Lord, let us begin to act. Maybe some of these are remembrance, remembrance to some of us, or our mind renewed by these things. Let us be determined that wicked one is determined. The Bible says in Revelation 12:12, knowing that his time, he has but a short time. How come God's children can't know that even the Lord is even at the door? Have mercy, Lord. And in doing that is to take all the privilege that is behind that name. Take that word of God. If he said by stripes I was healed, I'm healed. That's it. Nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away from me. If he said I wish above all things that I should prosper and be, that is my Lord. As we go this morning, Lord, the Holy Spirit, not this morning, now, O Lord God. Enabling us, O Lord God. We have been translated from where we were before we come to this meeting this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's here to make this abundance in our life. Yes, we have had victories in the past, but he wants us to have greater victory to the end that our this day, our future, will be great, far, far greater than our last day. The value we are looking for will be far, far greater than what you have ever had before. He said, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth in your life individually as a child of God, as a church of the living God. New things. And you will see it too. But we just go by faith. Accept it by faith and go this morning. Lord, thank you for giving the word of God. Expand it to us so that we go in our daily life. Father, I commit every need here this morning to your hand. Bible says that, Lord God, you search the heart. You know what is in the mind of the Spirit. Upon our prayers, you make intercession for us according to the will of God. That's what the Holy Ghost came to do. He will put us in remembrance of all that the Lord has taught us. He won't speak of himself. He will take that which is mine and give it unto us. Lord, he help our infirmities too. So therefore, that makes us to be complete in Christ. We are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Lord, we thank you. We go with that understanding renewed this morning, Lord. Walking as kings and priests, not as beggarly people, but kings and priests, ordained of God. The thing that loved us, Revelation 1:6, that washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us to be kings and priests unto God his Father. We won't take anything less, Satan. We know whom we are in Christ. It has been revealed to us. We have the dominion in the name of Jesus over all your work. We have the authority. We will be like day by day, like arches under the sole of our feet in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, as you have said in your word, we trust you this morning to meet all our needs, spiritually and temporal, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this is our Heavenly Father glorified, God, that the Father may be glorified in the Son in our life. Grant it, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.